This message, entitled The Fellowship of the Burning Heart, was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on March 6, 2022 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is Luke 15, 1-10.
Now this first Bible reading is from the first part of chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is the one we looked at in detail last week, but I'll give it just to bring it all together, and then we'll look at the one for today. All right. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? I want you to notice that in these stories, there's not a giving up. There's not a giving up. I see this really in all three of them. Even though, like the son, for example, he takes off and he goes away, and the father does not chase after him. Because the intention is that he see his own need and that he does come back and is received graciously by the Father. Well, anyway, so we see that as part of the picture, all right? What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons. People who don't think they need any forgiveness, don't think they need any new direction from God, just persons, which need no repentance. Now, the fact of the matter is, everybody's got to come through repentance in order to truly get to the Lord. But, you know, if you're not going to be repenting, then what in the world is the point? Well, so that's your first story. The second one is very similar to it. Only it's an inanimate object. It's not an animal or a person like the third story is. It's just a coin, okay? But it turns out that she had 10. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle. Now notice the light that's being put into the situation to make it easier to see. You know, I think most of you are aware that I've been having issues with losing things. You know, back last summer, I lost my watch. Now, it may not seem like a big deal to you, but the watch I had was a databank, Casio databank, and it had all kinds of phone numbers in it and appointment times and all kinds of things. And when I lost that, I lost a lot. Okay? Now, I know you can go ahead and put all those things in the phone. Phone kind of covers that too, okay? So I did go ahead and start putting some in there, but then guess what happened? Can't find a phone. Okay? Now I personally believe it's somewhere there in the house, okay? I don't think I lost it out of these deep pockets. You know, I don't have it on me right now. It's in my black bag, so it doesn't ring in your ear. But yeah, it's not going to be all that easy just to lose it, like I lost it out of my pocket. And I don't generally have it out and set it down while I'm out of the house. But I think it's somewhere in the house, in the office, or in the garage. Have I looked everywhere? I think I have. But then I recognize, since I haven't found it, that I haven't looked everywhere. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Okay, and I've always said, and you've heard me say, that the last place I look, that's where I'm going to find it. Well, yeah, You're not going to continue to look after you found it. Anyway, so there goes my watch. There goes, and this is all affecting ministry. I hope you can picture what this is like. I needed the call. I was going to save this for a little bit later, but it's all right. I can give it to you. I needed to call one of the nursing homes, okay, for this past week. Couldn't find them in the phone book. I must not have a phone book that covers that. The phone book says it does, says it covers, you know, that area and so forth, but I looked through it. I looked through the yellow page part of it. I looked through the white page part of it. Can't find it. So, and this happened once before, by the way. And so I called one of the other nursing homes that I did know the number of, the one where Cindy was. I called over there, got a hold of Mary at the desk, and this time they had it kind of handy, actually, and she gave it to me over the phone. So I called it and got a hold of Sugar Creek and, you know, could go ahead and take care of what I needed to take care of. But, you know, but that's all been in my watch before. No, I just click, 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 and I get to my watch, and I look up these numbers. You know, oh, yeah, you could go ahead and memorize all the numbers. Well, you memorize them for me, okay, and then I'll call you, and then you give me the number. you know, so anyway, I did get it through that. Well, then I go and lose the watch, and I don't have a bunch of numbers in the phone. I was counting on the watch, and so I started putting them in the phone. Then all of a sudden, the phone's not around. You know, where's that? And I got to call these people. I need to let them know I'm coming or not coming or, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, so now Kara set me up with the one I had before, the older one. But that's just in the meantime because I'm planning on finding it. Okay? It says here that they looked until they found it. Okay? That doesn't mean we have to look over all the places we've already looked, because we did that, okay? It's going to be maybe somewhere where we didn't think it would be, all right? I'm just saying. Now, this is ministry. I got to call these nursing homes and call these hospitals or whatever. It's all part of ministry. And that can't just fall by the way because a watch isn't around anymore or a phone isn't there or whatever. So, I thought about going ahead and writing out all the numbers and sticking my wallet. The last time I lost my wallet, I almost didn't find it. The last two times I lost my wallet, I almost didn't find them. The last minute I thought, you know, I wonder if somehow it fell into the trash can in the garage. Got everything out of there, and there's my wallet sitting in the bottom of the trash can. I evidently had it in my hand along with some bag or something that I was throwing out. And you know how you do that. You go ahead and, you know, you don't remember that you're holding onto your wallet, so you throw the trash bag in there, and there went the wallet. The other time, I knew I lost my wallet and where I lost it. It was over in the parking lot of the shopping center up in Katanning. Okay? Because I thought I heard something fall when I got out. And later, when I found out I didn't have my wallet, I checked around and I didn't see it anywhere. So I went everywhere. I went all over the shopping center. I went into every store and asked them, anybody turn in a wallet? Anybody turn in a wallet? You know, no, and nobody had. And then somebody said, why don't you check with the police? And specifically, they said the state police. Not the regular ones. Not that it would matter much, I guess. But most people would just go to the state police for something like that. Anyway, I go up there, not really expecting to find it. And I walk into the building, and you know how they have a big glass wall, and then they have a thing down below it, and you pass things through to them, and so forth. There's my wallet, sitting there in that trough. And I called one trooper over and said to her, you know, I believe this is my wallet. Can you take a look at it and verify it and make sure, you know, and I knew it was because it had the picture on the front, you know, and so forth. So she goes and looks at it and so forth. Sure enough, that's it. Here somebody had found it in the parking lot on the ground, okay, and returned it. Everything was in it. Money, licenses, cards, everything was in it. So praise God, I got an honest one. Okay? And that's how I found that particular wall at that particular time. Now, this never used to happen to me, not much. Oh, I'd misplace something in the house, you know, like a checkbook or something, but then look under something and sure enough, there it is. And we've all done that, I'm sure. But when you get older, and some of you are eventually going to find this out, when you get older, it doesn't get easier. All right? Well, anyway, so this phone is still missing. The one I want to have finally is still missing. But I'm going to keep my eyes open because it said here, they sought diligently till she found it. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors. You better believe when I find this phone, you're going to get a call. However, not on the phone because I don't know how to use it. But on a regular phone, probably. But that's what it says. Until it was found. So I have a feeling it's in my lift chair because that's where it last was. And I went into the kitchen for a little bit or something, and I think it fell down into the chair. You think I can find it? No. Have I torn it all apart practically and looked for it? Brought in a light, a big light from the garage so I could really see what's in there? And all of a sudden I start seeing and smelling smoke. So I look up and see what's happening and hear the back of the chair had gotten too close to the light and it was starting to catch fire. Now it's not funny. it didn't catch fire. It was only smoking just from the heat of it, okay? Because a very hot light, okay? And so right away I unplugged it and that dissipated and, you know, that was the end of that. Still no phone. All right. So I don't know where it's going to be found. I just know it's probably going to be the last place I look. Okay? Now this ties in to this story about these coins, especially the coins. Okay? Because it says here, when she found it, she called her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." All right? Now it's just one coin. There were 10 coins altogether, and this is only one, and it's lost. "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." Praise God. Over one sinner that repents. Only lost 10%. Had 10 coins, lost one. It's 10%. A lot of people would look at that and say, well, so what? But these people lived on every cent they had. What about the woman who had the two mites? You know, every cent, everything is needful. Amen? And she gave it all away. She didn't have to try to remember where she put it or where she gave it. She knew she gave it all away to the glory of God. All right? But here it specifically states, Rejoice with me. And it's like the joy that's in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. It's that kind of joy. Praise the Lord. That kind of joy. Back in 1978, there was a 353.9 carat gem that was called the Premier Rose and was found at the Cullinan mine down in Pretoria, South Africa. It was a remarkable find, not only for its size, but for its exceptional quality and color, and it was valued at $12 million in the rough. And you know as well as I do that they take those diamonds and they cut them down and they put facets in them and they, you know, get it to where it shines more or it's, you know, glistens more or whatever. Well, the following year, the Premier Rose Diamond, now cut and weighing only 137.02 carats, Okay, not 12, or not, what was the other weight? 353.9. Now it's only 137.02, so it's a lot smaller, okay? But more valuable, or more special anyway, because of its clarity and the other things that are affected by cutting it down. That ended up being sold in the United States for $11.5 million. Now that diamond is a parable of many people's lives. Valuable from the beginning, because every life is valuable. Amen? Valuable from the beginning. But a human life has to be formed, it has to be treated, it has to be shaped, you know, has to go through the things of life in order to learn a few things along the way, be formed, fashioned, before it becomes a thing of true beauty and light. It is only as we put ourselves into the hands of the Master that we truly become what he meant us to be. Praise the Lord. A.W. Tozer, he put it this way. God makes salvation conditional. Conditional. It's not just willy-nilly, it's conditional. It's upon our response to a message. And that message is the message of the cross. The message of redemption, of a dying and risen Savior, and our faith in God's declaration of intention, something God declares he plans to do and will do if we believe. We must have faith in that and make a response to it. He calls it the fellowship of the burning heart. Praise the Lord. The fellowship of the burning heart. Glory to God. Look at verses 8 to 10 in chapter 15. 8 to 10, just these last few verses that we're dealing with today. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, the sheep story is over, so now it's down to the silver. If she loses one piece, doth not light a candle. In other words, she does light a candle. You know, that was the whole idea of bringing the halogen lamp into the house. The other flashlight I had was kind of weak, and the one that's on the phone is pretty good, but where's the phone? Okay? But this other lantern-type one I had, but it is kind of weak. So I brought in this halogen thing, and it's three banks long. It's about that big, and it got, like I say, too close to the back of the chair, and it started to smell it. Okay. Stopped it, of course. But now if I had left the house at that time to go get something else, libel could have caught completely on fire. So live and learn, I guess, huh? Anyway, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Praise God. Added the light to it, put the candle to the test, and then swept the house and sought diligently till she found it. Praise God. In other words, diligently means very carefully. And what she hath, and when she had found it, she called her friends, called her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." This time it's a silver coin. There's no real reason to be shy about asking God for what we need. Believe me, I've prayed about it. I prayed about that watch. I've been all over the yard 10, 15 times, driving slowly with the tractor, looking, seeing if I can spot this watch. See, what happened is it wasn't fitting into the two holes that are there for the little piece of metal, the bar that goes in there. And my sleeve probably hit something, in a bush or whatever along the way, and it came off. I know that because it's happened before. I've felt it come off, and it was down on the deck, or the place where you put your feet, on the tractor. So I know. So why didn't I not wear the watch? you know, live and learn. That's the whole idea of life, live and learn. You know, there's a problem with that watch, and that you could lose it, and it would make sense to go ahead and not wear it, especially while you're mowing. You could wear it at other times. You'd probably feel it come off, but maybe not while you're mowing, okay? Same thing with this phone, okay? The Bible says, diligently seek until he finds it, okay? So I'll be looking, I'll be watching. I may never find it. You have to understand that. Okay, I don't know why, but you know, you may never find it. I may never find it, but it's not going to be for lack of looking. Okay, praise the Lord. There's no reason what to be shy. We can ask God for anything, okay, for what we need. James says we must ask in faith for what we need, and Jesus himself encouraged his followers to ask. Just ask. I've talked to a lot of people who say God never answered their prayer. Well, let me tell you, God answers every son's and daughter's prayer. It may not be the answer you want to hear. It might be later. It might be sometime. It might be, you know, some other answer. It's not always, look down, there it is, you know, not always. Sometimes he gives that which we ask for. But sometimes he also refuses because it's not the right time for it. In fact, maybe it's going to do me some good to wait a year till I find it. You start to recognize how precious these sheep, these silver coins, these sons are if you don't have them for a while. All right? Sometimes he tells us that the timing is wrong, that we must wait. But he always answers. Story is told about a young family where the father of the family lost his job. And he and his wife began to pray that God would provide for that purpose, for that thing. I need a shirt. The boy said this. I need a shirt, size 7. I need a shirt, size 7. He wanted a special kind of shirt. Besides, he's getting a little specific. And in a particular size, size 7. Night after night he prayed, God, I need a shirt, size 7. Don't forget. Finally, a phone call came in the middle of the day from my phone. No, not from my phone. Anyway, it was a man who they knew from church who owned a store downtown. I know you're having a rough time, he said to the family. Why don't you come down here and go through some boys' clothes that you may be able to use? You're bound to find something. They're almost one size, though. They're all size 7. But maybe you can make do with it. The mother could have told her son ahead of time what she was about to do, where they were about to go, but she wanted him to hear it for herself. She had heard his prayer for weeks, the boy's prayer, and she wanted him to see it answered for himself. When they arrived at the store, the owner brought out one size 7 shirt, and then another, and then another, and then another. And before they were done, he had found 12 size 7 shirts. He put them all on the counter, and he told them, take what you want. If you can use them, take what you want. We learn to believe in the power of prayer by praying. Not just to get something, but it's a connection with God and with his purposes. Our job is to ask. Amen? God's desire is to answer. Praise the Lord. When it was found, this coin that is, others gathered and they rejoiced. A lot like the Bible says, when the angels rejoice in heaven, when a lost sinner repents. Okay? I wonder when my cell phone's going to show up. I really don't know. I can think of some other places I can look. I'm not done looking in that chair. I'm going to have to find a non-fire-causing battery to take a good look in there. I mean, this is that chair that we got from over in Worthington, you know, with the push the button and, you know, it's a lift chair thing. There's all kinds of mechanisms and padding and all kinds of stuff in there. And I do have a feeling, since I can't find it anywhere else, I have a feeling, since I haven't seen the fullness of the inside of that chair, I have a feeling it might be in there. Besides that, it's the last place I remember it to be. Because I set it on the arm of the chair, and then went into the kitchen or the dining room or something, and then came back, and I don't remember seeing it after that. I didn't make the connection that it's gone or anything like that, but I don't remember seeing it after that. Praise God. And then somebody asked me, well, is it possible that Amos got a hold of it and he took it somewhere? No. Amos only sleeps. He gets up on the bed and he's out like a light, you know? Even leaving this morning, you know, I used to put him in the office, I used to put him in a cage, I used to do all these things to him, and he's just laying there with his eye half open watching me get ready for church. And then I walk over to him and I give him a kiss on the top of the head and I say, now you be a good boy. And he just looks up at me like this, you know, and then lays his head back down. He's sleeping right now. I'll tell you right now, he's sleeping, okay? And he doesn't wake up until he hears me coming out of the garage. Then it's bark, 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 you know, on and on and on. Trust in the Lord to bring it back. That's what these people were told to do. You know, when I lost my watch, I still haven't found that. No, not after all these months. Would it be any good? I don't know. I don't know until I find it. So someday we're going to get like 100 people together and we're going to go walking through the yard and we're going to cover every square inch. Praise God. But you have to understand, this may not seem like a big deal to you, but that watch contained all appointments, it contained phone numbers, it contained all kinds of stuff, and that was all gone. And then when I tried to restore that into the phone, now it's all gone. You know, it just makes things harder. It'd be nice if something made something easier, you know. But God knows what he's doing, so this is the situation, all right? Praise God. It does get kind of frustrating because, you know, I told you before that, you know, I had to call one of the other nursing homes in order to get the number and then find my way around that way and so forth. It'd just be easier if I had it all set up. And I did have it all set up. But now those sources of being all set up are gone. Okay. Well, we'll get back to it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Glory be to God. We've got to see that our God is the one who's in control. And he does love every one of his people. And not only his people, but he loves all of his creation. Amen? That goes for people that don't even love him. All right? Did you know that there are 700 million Hindus in the world, and God loves every single one of them? But he loves them so much, he wants them to surrender to his love, to his mercy, to his grace, and they haven't done that yet. They don't know the truth. There are 300 million Buddhists in the world, and God loves every one of them, every single one of them, but they do not know the truth. He wants them to, but they don't know it. There are over 900 million Muslims in the world, and God loves every one of them, but they do not know the truth. And many of these are actively against him, persecuting his church. He wants them to turn from that. He wants them to get serious about the Lord, about himself. We do live in a society that believes that practically every road leads to God. You know, you can get to God any old way, but that's not what the Bible says. And the Bible is God's word. And that it doesn't matter which approach you take, just as long as you're sincere. You've heard people say, you know, just go ahead and believe. Doesn't matter what you believe, just believe. You know, and that's not true. It's not biblical at all. In fact, it matters a great deal what you believe. A comparative study of world religions will show that nearly all religions have some kind of supreme being. practically every religion in the world addresses some form of afterlife. And either Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't even believe in an afterlife, but in a sense they do, because they believe in annihilation. That once you die, you're annihilated. You're gone. You're like you never existed. Well, that's not what the Bible says, people. The Bible says there's a heaven and there's a hell. And what we're all about now leads us to one of those two places, okay? Somebody can go ahead and decide, no, I just believe we're all annihilated. We're just gone. Well, good for you. So you come up with your own idea about it. That's not going to make it true. Okay? The Bible is what makes things true. Glory be to God. An afterlife offer some kind of moral codes of ethics. But it's not all interchangeable. You can't just go ahead and say, well, I like this one and I like that one, so I'm going to believe this one and not that one. That's not what it's all about. Only one true truth. Because truth is not as broad as a lot of people think it is. It's actually quite narrow. Remember he said there's two ways, and there's a broad way and there's a narrow way? And he says the ones that find eternal life are the ones that go the narrow way. That's Jesus. And that's how much he loves you, that he gives you a narrow way. You know, why does everybody think you need multiple broad ways to get someplace? No, you don't. It's because people don't want to surrender to what Jesus does say about it. The idea that God is so big that there cannot be one exclusive path to reach him is not true. The idea that all world religions are essentially the same is intellectually absurd. The difference between Christianity and other world religions is that Christianity offers man no way to save himself. In God's purview of all of this, there is no way to save yourself. And all of these other things are all about do this, do that, you know, do this ritual, believe this. Bow down 8 times today, you know, and you'll be fine, you know. That's not what the Bible says. And every world religion suggests that you can save yourself, except for Christianity. Jesus saves. Jesus went to the cross. Praise God. Jesus Christ told the thief, listen to this, told the thief dying on the cross next to him, today you will be with me in paradise. And the thief did absolutely nothing for salvation. All these other things are telling you, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to say that, you got to, you know, all the. No, the thief didn't do anything. He just said, Lord, remember me when you come. That's Jesus. He's asking to remember him when Jesus comes into his kingdom. There's no way that thief did anything to be able to deserve Christianity. Except he turned to the Lord. Amen. And Jesus saved him. He didn't save himself. The thief did nothing for salvation but believe in the saving power of Christ. He could offer Jesus nothing. He trusted in Jesus plus nothing. And Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. Glory be to God. Let me close with this. The Church of Jesus Christ should indeed be a place of healing. It's certainly a place calling people into healing, but if you come into what Jesus says, there can be healing. Praise God. Our fellowship should be nurturing. It should be life-giving, not fearful, not vengeful. God's not trying to blast people. He's not trying to flatten people with his word. Some have said that the church is the only institution that shoots its wounded. And sadly, it seems like many times that's what happens. Because when you choose to believe in something else other than what Jesus said, other than what the Bible says, you're in a very, very real sense shooting yourself. Sadly, many times that's what the church ends up doing. But that should not be the case. We could take a lesson from nature in observing the mighty. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these in real life, and I'd like to someday, but they're out in California. I don't know that we're ever getting out there. The sequoia tree, you know what I'm talking about? The redwood, the giant redwood tree. They even have at least one that's got it all hollowed out, and you can drive through it if you got a skinny enough car. You can, you know, drive through it. It's right on the road, you know. The sequoia tree. Sequoias are among the oldest trees in the forest. They are strong. They grow straight because their root system is self-correcting. And their bark contains an acid. Get this. You ever hear about this? Their bark contains an acid that propels insect attacks. So that helps to keep these trees going after all the hundreds and hundreds of years. They withstand wind and violent rain because they grow in clumps, allowing their root system to intertwine. To blow one over, okay, one tree over would mean blowing over an entire hillside of them, and that doesn't happen very often. Or if the church were as strong, what if the church were as strong from within? In the fellowship of the burning heart, in the fellowship of believers, there should be a spirit of openness in those who are hurting, confused, embarrassed, disenfranchised, even lost. The down and out should be in God's family. And they're called to it. They're welcome. They're invited. I've always said that. You know, I've never said, you know, like Islam will go ahead and say in their holy book that, you know, you need to go out and kill the Christians, kill the infidels. Okay? Well, but Christianity should never say that. You know, Christianity is calling people to Jesus, not away from Jesus. But you can't hang on to something else and still think you have Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit who lives in us empowers our hearts to love as Jesus loved. We have the resources to be strong and to nurture the weak until they are strengthened too. So praise God. That's what it's calling us all to take Jesus' word, God's word, seriously. Amen. Glory be to God. You remember those last couple of verses? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece, that one coin which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." God is not looking to get rid of people. He's not looking to lambaste anybody, but he does want them to know the truth. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. And we can have the truth if we have Jesus. But not our own version, not our own, "Well, I think this and I think that." It doesn't matter what you think, okay? It's what God says. Amen? Praise the Lord. And he says he wants people in his kingdom. And he wants them now. Nobody knows how long everybody has. Nobody knows how long you have. I have. Sometimes it doesn't feel like we have long, you know. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we'll be ready. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this truth that's here today. Help us to know, Lord, that you are calling for really everybody to come into the light of your coming, into the light of your kingdom, into the light of your glory. Hallelujah. So we lift you up and we exalt you. And Lord, we do know that we need you. We pray, dear God, for many, many other people to know that they need you. That's what it really boils down to. And everybody does need Jesus. The most important thing that we do with our lives and in our lives is to finally decide and to be about it. What are we going to do about this Jesus? What are we going to do about this Jesus? That's the most important thing that we have to be about in these days. And I want to thank you, dear God, that you have given the way. The way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus himself said, there's no other way. There's no other way. So, Lord, I want to thank you, dear God. We just need to submit to you and to your way because you are the Lord of all. You are the Lord of all, Lord. So we thank you and we give you glory today and every day. Amen. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.